Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Kuf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the 9th line from the top on Daf Kuf Yud, we begin our shiur. The shiur begins with a pasuk from Yeshaya, Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Vav. We mentioned in our previous shiur that the Gemara will deal with psukim and drushes dealing with the ingathering of the exile. Here the pasuk says, "Havi'i bonai mirachok, uvenosai miktzei haaretz." The Gemara now breaks down the pasuk. We've underlined the relevant quotes. "Havi'i bonai mirachok, bring my children from the distance." Amar Rav Huna, "Elu golios shel Bavel." This is a reference to the exile of the Jewish people who were exiled to the Babylonian community. "Shedaiton miyushevas alein kibonim." The Babylonian exile was described, let's say, relative to other exiles, as a less restrictive, less painful experience. And as a result of that, people had a certain peace of mind in Bavel as opposed to other lands, and hence they're described as those having peace of mind, like bonim, like males. Men, as opposed to women, men are described or portrayed as being, we'll say, calmer. Ubenosai miktzei haaretz, and bring in my daughters from the far reaches of the land. Elu golios shel shaar aratzos. This is a reference to the exiles from other lands, an ingathering of those exiles. She'ein daiton miyusheves alein kibonos, because of the greater pain and affliction that the Jews were subjected to in these other lands, they lacked peace of mind and are hence described as bonos in the female sense. Omar Rebbe Abba Barav Yitzchok Amrav Chisda, another version of names, the Amri Law Omar of Yehuda Amarav, Mitzor the Ad Kartigni, from the city, from the place known as Tzor, until Kartigni. The word Kartigni reminds one of the word Carthage. But we're talking about geography right now. So from the area of land, the lands, we'll say, between Tzor and Kartigni, Makirin es Yisrael v'savim shebashamayim, they recognize, they're aware of the Jewish people and of the Almighty. However, Umitzur klapi marov, from Tzor westward, Umi Kartigni klapi mizroch, and from Kartigni eastward, Ein makirin es Yisrael v'lo asavim shebashamayim. These the extremities, if you will, from Tzor westward and from Kartigni eastward, they don't know, they're not familiar with the Jewish people nor with the Almighty. Esvei Rav Simi bar Chiyod Rav. Rav Simi raises a question on Rav's teaching. He says, the Pasuk says in Malachi, Mimizrach Shemesh Admavo Godol Shmi Bagoyim Uvechomokom Muktar Mugosh Lishmi Umincha Tahira. This Pasuk indicates, seems to say, that Bechomokom, everyone recognizes the Almighty. So how can you say that the Almighty is recognized only in the area between Tzor and Kartigni? Amalei Simi At. Rav says to Rav Simi Bar Chiya, he says, are you the great Simi? An expression, a way of referring to him, a reference of fondness, possibly. He says, Rav continues to say, de korule eloka de eloka. They are aware of the Almighty to the extent that they call him the we'll say, the God of gods. But that does not indicate that they recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu as the exclusive power, but rather the power above other powers. Hence, the idea reflected in this pasuk that Godol Shmi Bagoyim, true that the Almighty is recognized as great amongst the nations wherever they are, but not in a full recognition as we know the Almighty to be the only exclusive power. They had a corrupt understanding of the Almighty, but some idea of his existence all the same. B'chol makom mukar muktar mugash lishmi. This is a quote from the pasuk that we just cited, and hence we've underlined it. B'chol makom salka daitach. The pasuk says that in all places they are offering to me. Does that mean literally in all places? Amar Shmuel bar Nachmanimi, Amar of Yonasan. Here we have a new marking scheme. We're using a double underline, and on the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivne heading. The double underlines emphasize Memros, comments, Be'inyan Talmidei Chachamim Ma'oiskim B'Torah U'Behilchas Avoda. We'll see drushes concerning Talmidei Chachamim, people who are engaged in the study of Torah, and the study of korbanos, of sacrifices. So the pasuk here that says, B'chol makom muktar mugash lishmi, Eilu Talmidei Chachamim Ha'oiskim B'Torah B'chol Makom. This is a reference to Talmidei Chachamim who are studying Torah wherever they may be. Ma'ale Ani Alehem Ki'ilu Maktirin U'Magishim L'Shmi. I consider it as if they are serving and offering to me sacrifices. U'Mincha Torah. This too is a quote from the pasuk above. Zeh Ha'loimei Torah B'Tara. This is a reference to someone who studies Torah in a state of purity. What does that mean? Noisei Isha V'Achakach Lomei Torah. First he gets married, in other words, he gets married rather young, and then pursues Torah study. The feeling here is that if one is married, so his mind is, when it comes to issues of morality and modesty, his mind is focused on his wife, and hence not on other non-marriage situations, and hence he's described as pure. Shir Hamalos Hinei Borchu Es Hashem Kol Avdei Hashem Oim Dibes Hashem Baleilos. My Baleilos. The pasuk makes reference to all those who serve God and stand in his temple at night. What's the reference to night? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eilu Talmidei Chachamim Ma'oiskim B'Torah B'Laila. This is a reference to Torah sages who study Torah at night. Ma'ale Aleihem HaKosuv, the Pasuk views them, considers them Ki'ilu Asukim B'Avoda. It's as if they're involved with the service of sacrificial service. Interesting, of course, it's interesting to note that in general, offering of sacrifices in the formal sense cannot be done at night. But through the study of Torah, one can accomplish the equivalent of sacrificial offering even at night. There's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, Perek Beis, pasuk Yimel. The entire pasuk we have included on the inside margin, and it says there, Hine ani bone bayis l'shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael Elokai Hashem Elokai lahakdish lo lahaktir lufonav k'toras samim u'mareches tomid v'oilois v'boker l'erev v'ashabos l'chadoshim u'lomoade Hashem Elokeinu li'oilom zois al Yisrael. This pasuk is describing Shlomo HaMelech building the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of offering sacrifices, daily sacrifices and Shabbos sacrifices and holiday sacrifices to Hashem. And the conclusion of the pasuk says, Le'olam Zos Al Yisrael. What does the word Le'olam convey? After all, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and it's not of a permanent nature. So how does the word Le'olam figure? Omer of Gittel, Omer Rav. Ze Mizbeach Bonui U'Michoel Sar HaGodol Omeid U'Makriv Olav Korban. This is a reference to a heavenly type altar that's built, and the high angel Michoel is offering sacrifices on it. So being a spiritual type altar in heaven, of course that is of a permanent nature. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan has a different take on this, and he says, "Elu tamidi chachamim ha'oiskim behilchas avoda." This is a reference to those studying the laws of sacrificial offering. Mal aleihem hakosuf kilu nivne mikdash bimeihem. It's as if the Beis Hamikdash was built in their time. So that being the Torah study and the study of Korbanos is at all times, we can say regarding that, le'olam. So in that sense, it's as if the Beis Hamikdash also is le'olam. Even after its destruction, it's considered as if it's rebuilt. Amar Reish Lakish, Mai Dichtiv Zois HaTorah Le'olam Milchol Chasus L'Hashem. Reish Lakish, in elaborating on, expounding on this pasuk, he says, Kol Ha'oseik B'Torah, anyone who is involved in Torah study, kilu hikriv oila mincha chatos v'osham. It's as if he offered these sacrifices. Omar Rava questions Reish Lakish's drasha. The pasuk, after all, said zos haTorah le'ola. If Reish Lakish's drasha is to be accepted, then the lamed is inappropriate. So Omar Rava says, "Hi le'ola limincha." It should have said as follows. It should have said Zoisa Torah Ola Umincha, meaning the Torah study is an Ola or a Mincha. It should have said if Reish Lakish's drasha is to be accepted. But there is a lamed in these before these words. Ela Omar Rava. This brings us to Rava's pshat. Kol ha'oisek b'Torah eino tzorich. Lo oila veloi mincha veloi osham. The lamed before the word lo'ola has a connotation of negation. Lo, meaning that one who is studying Torah does not need the atonement afforded by these sacrifices. In other words, the basic study of Torah itself affords kapora. Omer of Yitzhak, Mai dechtiv zois Torah sachatos vezois Torah sa'osham. What is to be understood from these expressions? He answers, "Kola oisek b'toras chatos." Anyone who studies the laws of chatos, and Rashi points out the laws of sacrifices in general, kiilu hikriv chatos. It's as if he's offered a chatos, a sin offering. V'kola oisek b'toras osham kiilu hikriv osham. And one who studies the laws of an osham, it's considered as if he's offered an osham. So in this, the spirit of this teaching is that you can imagine someone who, let's say, had committed an offense that necessitated bringing one of these sacrifices, and we don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. He has the option of studying the laws of Korbanos and can get credit as if he offered these sacrifices. Once again, the general spirit here is that the study of Torah, and particularly the study of Kochim, has this atonement capacity. Before continuing, let us glance at the introduction, the topic heading, and the outside margin under the Nosei heading. B'havos korbonos amrinon, with regard to the bringing of sacrifices, we say echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamit ubilvad shi'chave libo l'shamayim, that whether one brings a large sacrifice or one brings a small, cheap, inexpensive type sacrifice, they are all considered the same in the eyes of the Almighty, provided a person's intent is one of Lashamayim, one of a lofty nature, one of a pure intent. This could possibly be understood as the case of the man of limited means, but he stretches himself to bring the maximum that he can afford as a sacrifice that has the same weight as a person who has unlimited means bringing an expensive sacrifice. Each one is bringing his own maximum. So the Mishnah says, "Ne'emar be'olas behema ishe reach nichoach, ube'olas of ishe reach nichoach, uve'mincha ishe reach nichoach." We find the same expression regarding the sacrifice of a cow, a large sacrifice, a smaller sacrifice, a bird offering, and the most inexpensive, the meal offering. The same Torah description, that it's considered Isha is something offered to the fire, Reach Nichoach, that causes pleasantness in the eyes of the Almighty. So each one of these sacrifices is accompanied by the same description, Lomarloch, conveying to us the idea, Echad Abarbe Vechad Amamit, whether one brings a large one or a small one, Uvelvad Shiachavein Libo Shemayim. The main concern is that a person's heart has the proper intention. Omer Bizera, my craw, what pasuk bears this teaching out? So there will be two pshatim for that are conveyed that convey this idea. Two pshatim or two psukim are cited. The first is cited here by Rabbi Zera, Mesuka Shnasa Oved Imaat Vimharbe Yocheil. The word Oved is a reference to someone who is Oved Korbanah, someone who serves with sacrifices. The pasuk also says, whether it be little or lot, the sleep of one who offers sacrifices will be pleasant, and Yocheil means he will also enjoy reward. So that the concept of Echad HaMarbe VeEchad HaMamit is conveyed in this particular pasuk, in the context of Avodas HaKorbanos. Rav Abba Bar Avo Omar Mehocha Bervois HaToivo Rabu Ochleha Uma Kishron LeBaoleha. We might point out that the end of the pasuk says Ki'im Ru'us Einov. To appreciate this, we look at the Rashi. Uma kishron lebaalav la kodesh baruch hu. The baalav, the master, is the kodesh baruch hu. Ki'im reus einav shezem miskavein letova. The pasuk is referring to the kodesh baruch hu seeing the person serving him and noticing that he has proper intention. Tanya. Omar Rabbi Shimon Nechoi, Borei Maksiv Parshas Korbanos Shelema Bohen Lokel V'lo Elokim Elo Hashem. In the parsha dealing with the Korbanos, even though the Almighty is described in the Torah through different names, the names describe different attributes of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. When it comes to the section of the Torah dealing with sacrifices, the only name of Hashem that appears is the Hashem, that name, and not Elokim and not Kel. Why not? Shalalita in Pishompeh, the Maladin Lachlok, so as not to give an opening to the skeptic to try to say that, let us just imagine that each different korban had a different name of Hashem associated with it. The skeptic would say, oh, you see, there are multiple deities. We offer a chatas to this deity and an alshem to this deity. Hence, the Torah preempted this from happening and said that used only one name of Hashem with regard to all of the different korbanos. The Ne'emar B'Shor Hagas, at this point the Brisa will say the same idea that we just saw in the Mishnah regarding Echad HaMarbe VeEchad HaMamit. And it says, B'Shor Hagas, the large ox, which is a large animal, Ishe Re'ech Nichoach, U'Be'ov Hadak, the small bird offering, it says, Ishe Re'ech Nichoach, Uve Mincha, and regarding the meal offering, Ishe Re'ech Nichoach. Lo Marloch, this teaches us, Echad HaMarbe VeEchad HaMamit, whether one brings a large sacrifice or a small one, Levashi Chavin Esliba LaShemayim, provided his mind is in the right place. In other words, that he has proper intent. V'shem Otomer L'Achilu Hutzorch, you might say that one brings sacrifices because the Almighty needs food. Talmud Lomar, so there's a pasuk that answers that, Im Erav Lo Omar Loch, if I am hungry, says the Almighty, so to speak, I'm not going to tell you. I don't need to tell you. Ki li tevel mloa. The entire world and its inhabitants are mine. V'nemar ki li kol chayso yar behemos bar elef. Yodati kol ov hashamayim v'ziz sodai modi. All the animals of the world, without getting into literal translation of this pasuk, but all of the creatures of the world are mine. Ha'ochal basar birim v'dama tudim eshteh. Do I need to eat the meat of great creatures and drink their blood? Lo amarti aleichem zivchu kedei. I didn't tell you, I didn't instruct you, says the Almighty to the Jewish people. I didn't say to offer sacrifices kedei shetomar, so that you should calculate and figure, well, I will do his will. In other words, God needs my sacrifices, so I'll do his will, and then he'll in exchange do my will. So the Almighty continues to say, Lo Lirtzoni Atem Zochim, you're not offering sacrifices in order to fulfill my needs. Rashi says, Lo Lirtzoni Atem Zochim Klomar Lo Lahanasi. You're not serving, you're not bringing sacrifices to give me pleasure. She'eni rotzel atriach etzchem asos al korchachem. I have no intention of troubling you to put yourself out to offer sacrifices. The Brisa continues, Ela lirat sonchem atem zofchem. Your offering of sacrifices is for your own benefit. It affords you atonement. Shenemar lirat sonchem tiz bachuhu. The sacrificing of sacrifices is for your benefit. Dovar acher. Another approach. Lirat sonchem tiz bachuhu. Lirat sonchem zivchu. Redaitchem zivchu. The point here is that when you're offering sacrifices, you should do so knowing what you're doing. And this is explained by the following halacha. Shmuel asks of Rav Huna, minayin l'misasek b'kodshim shu pasul, from where do we know that one who, while processing sacrifices, is actually engaged in something else? Let's say a person sees a knife on the floor and he has intention to pick up the knife. And as he picks up the knife, he happens to cut the neck of a sacrifice. Well, he picked up the knife without any sacrificial intention. He just happened to slice the throat of an animal, of a sacrificial animal. So from where do we know that a situation like that is unacceptable, meaning he is not considered in fulfillment of sacrificial offering. Minayin lemisasek b'kodshim shu pasul, shenemar v'shochat es ben habokor, shetei shchita l'shem ben bokor, that the shchita, the slicing of the neck, should be with the intention of cutting the throat of the animal. Amalo zu biodenuhu. This we know that you're supposed to have intention for the action of sacrificing. Le'akev minayin. But from where do I know that it is binding? Talmud lomar liritzonchem tizbachuhu, which is a repeated expression. Le'daitchem zivchu. That you should do it with your knowledge. So the repeating of the pasuk indicates that the awareness that one must have is binding. With that, we conclude our Shir and Maseches Menachos as well.